Welcome to episode 15 of Bite-Sized Blessings. I don't normally speak at the beginning of my episodes, but this time I have a special guest. Christopher Watkins Lamb is the lead singer and songwriter for Crispy Watkins and the Crack Willows, a band based out of Fort Collins, Colorado. He has very generously allowed us to use one of the songs from their latest album at the end of this episode, so make sure not to miss it. You can find links to the album on my website, bitesizedblessings.com. I'd also like to announce a trigger warning for this episode. Suicide and the idea of suicide are discussed. If you or anyone you know is suffering with thoughts of suicide, help is available. Please call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255. And now, episode 15 of Bite-Sized Blessings.
In the spring of 2019, I was having a really rough time. I was at the time working in Boulder and living in Fort Collins, and I was feeling very overwhelmed, busy, stressed, being a dad, working at an internship. I started to just have thoughts and feelings that were worrying me, starting to think things like, gosh, it would be easier just to die. Reverend Christopher Watkins Lamb. Vocationally, I would describe myself probably in three words: song leader, ritualist, and eco-chaplain. I'm also a father, got a three-year-old and another on the way, and husband, and currently serving as music lead at Foothills Unitarian Church in Fort Collins, Colorado. So I'm creating a lot of music on a weekly basis and serving a community, a religious community in that capacity. And I've done clinical pastoral education and in university settings as well. And I'm a big camp and conference person, spent a lot of time working with youth over the years. Feel like the person I was in like middle school in particular is just like so polar opposite of who I am. I went through a phase when I really didn't care at all about music. And I was really into video games as like my main thing for quite a while. Like subscriber to Game Enforcer magazine, like all of that. But like, if I go back earlier, I was absolutely all about like being outside, and I definitely loved music in elementary school. I went to this little private Quaker school, and we would have song circles every day. And it was one of my favorite parts of the day. We would literally all sit in a circle together, and our teacher would play guitar and sing. We had these song books. And then he would write us musicals. He would literally craft musicals based on our personalities for each of the characters. Like, he was quite talented. So I got into music and acting pretty young and sort of swerved away for a little while, which perhaps is just part of the developmental process. In the spring of 2019, I was having a really rough time. I was at the time working in Boulder and living in Fort Collins, and I was feeling very overwhelmed, busy, stressed, being a dad, working at an internship. I started to just have thoughts and feelings that were worrying me, starting to think things like, gosh, it would be easier just to die, starting to think like that, like, I'm just too tired. I don't want to do any of this anymore. Like, wouldn't it be nice if it just all ended? And those were scary thoughts for me to have. And I feel like I'd been noticing them for a couple of weeks. when I decided, like, okay, I have to do something about this. This is not something I can ignore. And I need to address it now before it gets worse. And I've been trained in mental health first aid. And I knew that, you know, I didn't have a plan or anything that was of high concern, but it was enough of a warning sign for me. Like, okay, I'm really not okay right now. And I need to do something for myself to help. I felt afraid to share that with anyone. I felt afraid to talk about it. But then this idea came to me, like, oh, this is what I need to do. I need to go and see a shaman, which is probably not what most people would decide to do in this situation, but it made perfect sense for me. So I booked this appointment and decided, okay, I'm going to see a shaman. It was like a couple of weeks out. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get ready for this. Things started to change for me in 2012. I started this AmeriCorps program in 2012, and a couple of things came together. You know, one was this practice of being outside all the time, often by myself, because I was working on vacant lot restoration and edible landscaping and community gardens. And a lot of the other AmeriCorps folks in my area worked in a team, but the nature of my position was actually a solo position. So I encountered my supervisors in the office, but I spent a lot of days just out on the land and working by myself, and really more time alone outside regularly than I'd have ever had. And the other thing is, I started reading Eckhart Tolle. You're familiar with him, The Power of Now. And I was reading his book, A New Earth. I really don't remember that much about the content of the book, but it completely changed the way I experienced my own body. I started to develop this bodily awareness that was just really different than how I'd experienced my body before. And then I started to notice the way that I seemed to be influenced by the world around me. Like, I would, you know, hear bird song and just feel these like energetic chills just moving up my spine, or feeling like they affected me energetically in ways that, you know, it's hard to put into words. And I started to feel the same thing with, like, when the wind blew on me, I could feel it in these really, you know, these ways that are really sensuous, right? It's really this bodily experience of being impacted by the world around us. I was also finding that, you know, I'm a songwriter. And so I was finding that as I was working with the land, I felt like these songs were coming at me, like coming up from the soil. And like they were really, you know, the origins of the songs were outside of me, and somehow like me interacting with them was bringing them forth. So that was really the first time I was developing this sense of the world around me as being this really intelligent and alive entity that, you know, is interacting with my body and my spirit, you know, my inspiration in every moment. And so I found her in, you know, this little like outbuilding outside of an office in Boulder, like downtown Boulder. And, you know, we chatted for a little bit, and then I laid down on this table. She invited me to lay down, and she brushed me with dried herbs. And then she started drumming and chanting and singing. And I really felt myself, you know, transported. So I was laying there, and then I saw myself laying on this stone table in the middle of a clearing. And the table was on some kind of a platform, and there was a circle of stones around it. And I was surrounded by people. I couldn't really see them clearly, but they all had this sense of being like allies, being people who are kind, who wished me well. And then I became aware of this pain growing in my head. And all of a sudden there was this woman like standing above me with blue skin. It's just like this brilliant blue skin. and her fingers were pressing into my forehead, just like pressing forcefully into my forehead, at the point where I was feeling this pain. And then suddenly it felt as though this like suit of armor just popped off me and it was just like shot off me in every direction. It was totally shocking. It's just like poof. And energy was like pulsing through my body. And then the woman like kept pushing, and I felt as though I was sliding through the table, under the table, and suddenly underwater. And there's just like this flowing river. And I felt totally relaxed. It was the most amazing thing. And you know, after it was done, she got me up, she had me sip some herbal water, and she told me about her experience. And she had experienced this group of grandfathers from the British Isles who were there to support me. And she said they were waiting to initiate me into their, you know, their ancestral lineage. And so she gave me some, you know, particular instructions that they had. And I swear I left that room just like totally changed. Just totally changed. I've come to believe that those feelings, the sensations I had of wanting to die, you know, were first, you know, a protest about kind of how I was living life at the time, but also a call from the ancestors to deepen in relationship with them. Since then, I've been working to align my work in this world with what they would have me do. Because for me, you know, I experienced them as actively singing me into existence in every moment. Like the fact that I exist right now means my ancestors are putting the work in to let me be embodied in this moment. So like, that's amazing. And it also comes with this big responsibility. Like, wow, I've got all these, you know, I've got all these beings who, you know, are working, you know, I've been working hard to keep me here. And you know, I'm not going to be here forever. It's for a time. And I've got some things to do before my time's up. About this time last year when I launched my band's first album campaign. So we had like this big fundraising campaign to record our first studio album. My band is Crispy Watkins and the Crack Willows. I'm the songwriter and lead singer for that. You know, it's a folk band, Americana, called Old Time Roots Rock. And I had a sense as I was starting that process that my ancestors were calling me to do this work. And that sense grew and grew as we were preparing to record the album. And to the point that when I walked into the studio for the first time for a planning session, I had this entire vision mapped out of basically a journey, an ancestral healing journey in musical form that starts in present day, kind of starting where you are. And then between the first and second song, you're basically snapped back in time thousands of years. And you're invited to take this journey as you listen to the album in its entirety, kind of through your own ancestral lineage as a witnessing and healing, kind of identifying the burdens and blessings of your lineage. And so I really had that strong sense, and I felt my ancestors with me as I was recording. And I ended up calling the album Tend This Flame, which was after the title track, which starts with the words, you know, I was born to tend this flame, ancestors danced and sang, what seeds now must I sow? Really about like that ancestral flame, that ancestral fire. And what am I here? What am I here to serve? What am I here to grow during my time? And yeah, I've been feeling called more and more that it's my work to hold true to that discernment. And also to help others to do that. I remember I was really struck by something the first time I read Malidoma Somme, who's a teacher from West Africa. And he was talking about how in his village, folks who did not go through initiation were perpetually stuck in adolescence, and prone to violence and addiction and you know, other behaviors that kind of tend to erode you know, healthy society. And I just think about, you know, how, you know, projecting that out to a whole culture of folks who haven't been through initiation and what we might be prone to at that point, you know, through no fault of our own in that sense, right? But you know, being born into a world that is not ready to hold us the way that we ought to be held. You know, that's where I really come back to the idea of revillaging that I started with. Just this real sense of like moving from this isolated individualism to being part of a village culture. You know, I really believe that almost all of us long at some level to like step out of your hut in the morning and be greeted by faces that know you and love you, right? And to know that you're a part of a community and that what you're doing on an everyday basis is contributing to that community and to the world around you. And you're like, you're part of this larger thing. And revillaging, you know, for me, it's a spiritual thing too. It's about recognizing the way that the whole world is interacting with us. And we're always part of this village, this external village of winged people, four-legged people, and finned people, and stone people, but also this internal village, like all these internal personalities and resources that we can access, you know, whether it's our own ancestors or guides or just parts of ourselves that we can have conversation with. That's been an absolute revelation to me to realize. And I find it so healing, such a healing kind of modality to bring to others. I was facilitating a grief group last year. And during one of the sessions, we had this kind of revillaging moment, took everyone into our social hall where we had a labyrinth set up. And I just invited each person to, you know, as they walk the labyrinth, envision that there was this internal village sort of like positioned around the labyrinth. As you pass folks, they're giving you hugs, affirmation, you know, whatever sort of encouragement that you need. And as though you're kind of walking, moving towards the center of this like village square where everyone's circled around, just there for you, right? There to support you and love you. And I think we have access to those resources all the time. This village of beings who are there to love and support us. And we need that. We need that right now. We really, really do. And I want everyone to know that they have access to that, you know?
Yeah, and I think also, you know, just kind of going back to where we started, those resources are in your dreams as well. As you asked yourself, what should I talk about? I want to dream about it. You can find community, relationship, answers in your dreams. And I think that's, first of all, it's exciting because you get to sleep and I love sleeping. And so, you know, that kind of liminal space between being awake and being fully asleep is such a divinely sensuous place. And then you fall asleep and you never know what's going to happen in your dreams, whether you're going to go on an adventure, whether you're going to be told something, whether an ancestor is going to come and speak with you. So I'm a fan of the dream world, let's say.
Oh, me too. Yeah. And it's a great example of this just whole village of experience that's outside of our everyday consciousness. It's outside of what our ego kind of identifies as being us. For me, my songs, they don't come when I'm trying to write songs, right? They generally come in those moments where I'm relaxed enough to receive. And sometimes I'll just be playing, you know, playing music, and maybe I'll be trying to write something, but it won't quite be working because it never really does. And then at some point, my mind just sort of leaves and I am in that flow state. And I find myself suddenly creating something that totally surprised me. And it's just that open channel. None of this creativity comes from our mind, comes from our ego. It's all from somewhere beyond. So we have to be open to that in order to receive. That innate creativity I think we all have is just such a gift. It's such a gift to be able to freely create in that way.
And I think also, you know, your music videos and your music is really joyful too. And that emerges out of you. I think great healers are always great carriers of joy. And yeah, joy is, to me, it's so pure. It's almost like direct connection to source, because you're channeling that joy, and it affects everyone around you. You know, it lightens moods. It's infectious, hopefully, in a good way. And it can transform people. It can transform the environment. It can transform the world. And so it's such a sacred task to be a carrier of joy. And you and your band and your life and obviously your daughter, you're all doing that. And so I think that's super exciting, but it's also a lot of work, and it can be a heavy burden at times.
Mm-hmm. Well, making beauty feeds the holy. So I strive to feed the holy that way, that beauty and joy.
This has been episode 15 of Bite-Sized Blessings, the podcast all about the magic and spirit that surrounds us, if only we open our eyes to it. And whether you choose to listen to our bite-sized offerings for that 5 to 10 minutes of freedom in your day, or the longer interviews, we're grateful you're here. I need to thank the Reverend Christopher Watkins Lamb for not only being a guest today, but also for letting us use the music from his band's latest album, Tend This Flame. And remember, the band is Crispy Watkins and the Crack Willows. Check out the rest of the album. It's pretty great. I need to thank the other contributors of the music today: Chilled Music, Lilo Sound, Sasha End, Kevin McLeod, Agnes Filmagia, Alexander Nakarada, Winnie the Moog, and Music L Files. For complete attribution, please see the Bite-Sized Blessings website at bitesizedblessings.com. Thanks for listening today. I hope some part of this lifted your heart and inspired you to go out and grab the world and do what you will with it. Thank you for listening, and here's my one request. Be like Christopher. Ask your dreams for the answers, and then live into them. Thank you.
across this earth, but I can't seem to name exactly what it's worth.